Welcome to this episode of Ours to Protect on WLR.
Hello and welcome to Ours to Protect. As part of WLR's climate and sustainability programming, each month we're taking a look at various initiatives in and around the county, focusing on biodiversity, sustainability and climate change.
It is one of the things you have to get used to when you're outside, that you might get stung by a few nettles. But there's three, if we don't have the nettles, those three butterflies can't lay their eggs on them. So we might get a bit stung by them, but they're actually really important, yeah. Yeah. We'll keep them cut on the pathway anyway. So,
girls, is this the first time that you've been down here?
Yeah, it has.
So can you tell me, what do you think about it?
Very good.
I think it's really good that we're getting more connected with nature, you know, because we don't really get to learn about this any other
time.
It's
a really cool idea.
We don't get to learn about it.
Be able to just go out and learn in the in the nature.
It's a very good environment.
Good for your mental health.
That's ecologist Niamh Ní Gual with some of the students at Ardscoil na Mara in Tramore. And that's where we're heading, back to school, and we'll be joining them and others in the classroom. But definitely a classroom not as you know it. I was here last year and I came to visit your outdoor classroom. But today, on this absolutely incredibly beautiful day, we are standing in what is like a tiny little forest. So can you explain to me what's going on here?
So first of all, welcome back and thank you so much for visiting us. So this is really, really, really exciting.
That's Patrick Kerwin, science and sustainability teacher at Ardscoil na Mara.
When the school was formed, probably maybe about 14 years ago now, they planted a forest here initially, but it was never accessible to the students. So there was lots of gorse in here and it was quite tight. So we never had the students out here learning or feeling what it's like to be in a forest. And then last year, was a target that we set ourselves, that we'd actually transform this into an outdoor classroom. So we launched it a week before the Easter holidays. And so teachers can book this like any other classroom, and it is amazing. The booking sheet is full up. There are music teachers, English teachers, MFL, lots of people out here. And what's brilliant is the Department of Education gave us some funding to buy in the expertise of Niamh, who's an ecologist, an amazing ecologist from Leaf. I wish I could siphon off her knowledge here this morning. Basically, there's so much to learn and to know, and it's really thrilling. And we also had a really, really generous donation from the Parents' Council. And that allowed us to buy the equipment to use in the forest, because Niamh has been teaching us how to manage the forest, is teaching me, teaching Francis, teaching the kids. And so the parents got us, the money that we got from the parents allowed us to get the tools. It allowed us to pay for some of the benches. And essentially this is, the classroom is essentially 30 seats, you know. Some of them are stumps of trees. Some of them are breeze blocks with treated wood. And they also helped us pay for some of Francis's time, who basically, Francis has been out here with the TY students. Francis facilitates them basically working safely and productively in the forest. So the reason we have this is because we've been sold a bit of a lie that Ireland is very green, and it's not. So we are at the bottom of the league table when it comes to tree cover in European countries. So we've got 12% roughly tree cover in Ireland. 10% of that is plantation. So we're talking about one type of tree, Sitka spruce, and we call it plantations. We don't call it a forest because it's a dead zone. There's no life in it. A forest is full of life. Ireland used to be covered in native woodland, probably maybe over 90%, and now we're down to 2% native woodland. So it's really interesting, because actually a few years ago I was trying to find some acorns for my students to sow in school. I live in the countryside. And I stepped outside my door and as I started looking for an oak tree, and I couldn't find one. I had to get into the car and drive to Mahon Bridge to find some acorns. And I wanted our students here to feel what it's like to be in a forest. And that's essentially kind of what they're getting now.
So what do the students feel about this forest classroom?
We mostly are inside most of the days for like 6 hours straight studying, preparing for exams, tests and other, etc., etc. Yeah, and we only go outside for barely 45 minutes, so we get to make the most of it.
I never knew this existed, but then I thought it was just like a forest, but when we went down there, I found out that there was actually like a lot down here that I didn't know was there.
So you were doing your Spanish class down
here? Yeah.
How was that different from being like in the classroom?
Well, like it's nice to get some fresh air, and it was a really sunny day as well, so it was really good, yeah. And when it's like very dark and hot inside, like it's not very good. Like I'd rather be outside in the sun, so yeah.
Oh, I'd much rather be outside in the sun as well. So do you think this whole project, do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, yeah.
Why do you think it's a good idea?
Well, we are like planting more trees and like making this bit, like we didn't use this like a couple of years ago when, and now we're making this into like a little project where we could place trees and get to know more about the nature and like environment.
And out here it feels cool, it's actually like free space and all that, and like we can actually roam around. We're learning more and different things about the trees, plants and leaves.
Frances Fitzgerald is one of the people who works with the young people. She's a coordinator for the TYs, the transition year students.
When we're down here, like day one, we actually couldn't step into the forest. It was so overgrown. And Niamh showed, just start with it, find a pathway. And we literally done, like the fairy tales years ago, we actually cut through the brambles and the trees and the gorse until we could see the light. And yeah, it's just amazing. The students are phenomenal. They're great. They will take great direction. And I'm very lucky because when I give them direction, they listen and they take it. Patrick gives me all the direction and I follow his lead.
So
it's
great. So you were physically doing, helping to clear the forest with the pupils?
Absolutely, in the thick of it. So I was absolutely loved it. It's an amazing space. It's a healing space. I really believe in the healing of nature. And why wouldn't you want to be out there?
And this was also a learning curve for Frances, as she told me about her own introduction to sustainability.
Someone actually only asked me the other day, how did I get into planting or a bit of green? And Lucy, my youngest, as a child, would eat nothing for me. So I came up with the idea one day that we'd start growing our own food and we would grow carrots. But because she was a little girl, we were growing princess carrots.
Of course you were.
Of course we were. That was it. Start growing carrots, then try a little bit of lettuce, try a few potatoes, and that is how I got into it. But that was my introduction, was trying to get my daughter to eat.
Now Frances is also a supervisor in the school, and she became involved in the work of the outdoor and the forest classroom when Patrick asked her to do some summer cover, things like watering in the greenhouse, facilitating classes. And she's always thinking of new ideas, and she has taken things a step further. Here's Patrick and Frances again.
Frances is amazing because she's also been developing partnerships in the community, not only for the Active Travel Programme, but last year, in the summer, Frances started selling some of her produce at the market in Tremor. And this year, forging relationships with restaurants in Tremor and hopefully selling directly to the restaurants in the summer.
I remember when I was here last year, the young people on a Friday, they'd be able to sell their produce to their mums or their dads, who came to collect them maybe. So is that a whole extension?
Yeah,
that,
no,
Frances?
And we're still doing the Friday. Come, you can come, you can buy whatever plants that are grown at the time. But Jenna, the extension will be we're starting to grow for what the restaurants might need.
And what was the restaurant's attitude? How did they feel about approaching them?
No problem at all. Absolutely delighted. We're very lucky in Tremor that the parents, the community, absolutely love to support Arts School Namara, and I think that's a huge part of it.
What else you found beautiful?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you what these are. Other times I'd be getting you to look them up in books, but this is one of my favourite flowers. It's so gorgeous. This blue. Does anyone know the name of this lovely wild plant?
That's called the Drury.
The Drury? I don't know.
The Drury.
Blue ivy.
No, but good guess. It's called actually Speedwell. Speedwell. So you could tick that. You could hold that. That's such a beautiful plant.
We're eavesdropping there on ecologist Niamh Na Gael, who's putting the students through their paces, and she also supports the Forest Classroom Project.
This is another plant here, and on the back, what did we call this one?
The silver.
Silver weed. Yeah, it's silver weed. And I was saying that the Brent geese that live in Siberia and Russia, they come to Ireland in the winter to feed on this plant. So it's a really important plant for a lot of Brent geese and other birds. And then there's this guy. What's this one? It's common imma im.
Butter.
Yeah, butter. Cup. So this is creeping buttercup. And ye also probably have the meadow buttercup as well. And I know that the girls he found over there was wood avens, but you also found Weigelia, which has popped up in the garden. And you obviously found the nyamthog, the nettles. I think you all met the nettles. Yeah. And what's the other one? The one that rambles, that gets the berries?
Blackberries.
The blackberries, the brambles. So even in a really, really short space of time, we found at least 8 or 10 plants.
Niamh works with Leaf Ireland, which teaches people about ecosystems and forests, and they're part of Antashka educational programme, so a sister project to the Green Schools.
It's probably our fifth visit, and we've been training up the forest leadership group here, the TYs, and they did all the work with the guidance of Francis and Patrick in between, and I'd kind of show them how to do a few things, leave them with some jobs to do, and then I'd come back again a month later, and they kept doing it all. And you can see now we're sitting in it's a transformed area. And actually what's been really interesting is, because we're creating pathways just with bark mulch, we're kind of watching how the students walk around, but also we're trying to have some trails where humans walk and then other areas trying to create little kind of maybe shrubbier layers where wildlife can hide as well. So we're trying to have the biodiversity and the well-being and the nature, like, all together. But it's here in the school grounds. It's incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And can you just tell me a little bit about the forest in terms of what trees are here?
Yeah. This woodland has probably 5 or 6 species, and they're lovely. Like, they've rowan, they've alder, birch, there's a bit of hawthorn. They also have sycamore and field maple, who they mightn't be native, but they've been here so long, they're really good for biodiversity as well. But I suppose you don't want the whole woodland to become all sycamore. So at the moment we're pulling up any little baby seedlings, but we're leaving the bigger trees. They'll be part of the woodland.
So do you have layers? Are there
exactly
layers?
Exactly. Yes. So what's lovely now is we think the woods is around 14 or 15 years old, and what's interesting is some trees will have survived and done really well, and other trees are dying off, and that's okay because something will always come back to replace them. When they planted it, there was actually a lot of gorse, and that's why we couldn't actually get in here. But the gorse had kind of, sometimes you plant gorse at the beginning because in nature gorse comes in first and then the other trees start coming in, so it's kind of a succession plant, it's called. But we came in and the gorse was maybe 10 and 15 foot high, so yeah, so that's what actually they spent a lot of the time cutting the gorse, and they put them into the dead hedge habitats you see here or into rough piles. But actually, funny enough, because they coppiced the gorse, they cut it at ground level, and I suppose they were doing this with our guidance. They're growing again. They resprout at the base again.
So will they, for something like gorse then, will they have to keep an eye on that?
Yeah. So that's where the bit of management comes in. But actually, the management is learning woodland skills. So the interesting thing is, because normally we are going in and planting from green field site. What's been lovely about this project is we've been able to do things like the woodland skills of coppicing. So coppicing is when you cut a tree near the base, but they resprout. So it's a very sustainable way of harvesting wood or using wood, because one of the things we're trying to encourage is if there's a woodwork class, like here now, we just had the science class out, but it'd be brilliant to have the woodwork class. Because then they'd actually see, oh, this is where, you know, this wood is coming from, because usually the wood just arrives in the classroom and there's maybe no, we're trying
there's
to build
no connect.
That. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes you have to, so there's softwoods and hardwoods, and there's different, like some trees love wet ground, like alder, birch and willow love wet ground. And then there's other trees that like dry ground, and then there's other trees that'll grow in both. And so the lovely thing about this space is it can be a classroom, it can be a place of like to come out just for simple nature walks, even to observe through the seasons, like the same trees. And because there's a bit of sometimes we just walk past things and we're on our way to the next thing. So this is more about trying to build a relationship with the plants and trees that are here and get to know the plants that are here.
Getting to know the plants, learning about how the forest thrives
and develops is Cian O'Quaylan. Cian is a fourth-year student in TY at Ardscoil na Mara, and he's part of the Forest Leadership Group. So part of his job is to pass on what he's learning to other students.
The main thing will just be kind of maintaining ecological balance in the woods. Like there's a few issues, like we're missing a plant layer, we're missing certain species that are really beneficial to the ecosystem here. And the main thing will be kind of maintaining that. We'll be bringing in what we need to bring in. It'll be removing whatever invasive plants we need to remove. And then as far as expanding the classroom, I'm not too sure. We might be making a few more kind of like mini classrooms out and about, but for the most part, it's just maintaining the forest as a forest. I suppose serene is the best way to put it. It's just very scenic. It's nice and calm. You're separate from the rest of the school environment for the most part. I'm looking right now into just like sunshine coming through the trees, leaving just a nice little pattern on the ground, loads of flies in the air, and it's very calm and serene. Like it's nothing crazy. It's a slow-paced kind of environment. It's not been the focal point of my life, but it's been pretty close to that. I've kind of grown up doing stuff like this, and all the way along, like through scouts and stuff, and this is just kind of stuff like this is the sort of stuff I've done all my life. I've always had an interest in the environment and ecology, and yeah, it's a nice thing to do.
Leaf Ireland, the organisation that Niamh works with, they got involved in the forest classroom last summer. Now, normally they're involved in planting new woodlands, but this is an opportunity to restore a woodland and to facilitate it being used. So why is that so important? Niamh?
There's many reasons. One is it's literally to be out in nature. I mean, I think it's probably the best antidote to everything that's going on in the world. But I suppose we all remember, if you ask back to any of us, if we said, what's a memory? And we'd remember maybe being out with our grandparents or our aunts or uncles or parents or someone, and someone showed us something. They're like, oh, do you hear the blackbird? Or do you see that mushroom? Or what's this? Or, and we kind of played with sticks and twigs and got mucky. And and we did that and we were learning, but we were playing, but we were learning. And now maybe the education system, for different reasons, it's become very indoor orientated. And then there's this big crisis of like people want to do the well-being thing, and for us it's actually being out here in all weathers, even if it's a bit cold and wet and windy. Some kids will naturally be into it, but not everyone's into being out here being mucky. But then someone might be in art, like drawing, so they come out and draw. It might inspire them to learn that you can make inks from things from the woods here as well. And so there's partly, it's critical that we all really start understanding, like, this is how we restore nature. We don't need to do, like, the national parks are really important, our oceans and seas are really important, but we are living in concrete jungles, so we need nature everywhere. And for a school to see and to have people like Patrick and Francis and the teachers that are getting involved to see that actually they can teach about soil here, they can teach about climate, sustainability, birds, bee, like they can teach, or they can just get someone to enjoy being here. We're more likely to care about the things we love and know. But what I would say is the students and kids aren't the barrier, it's the grown-ups, sometimes we're the problem. So it's us getting over our barrier that, okay, maybe the weather's not, we always have reasons not to come out, but we all remember going on Shuload Thulers, nature table, nature walks, and we had our nature table, and it didn't matter, hail, rain or snow, you went out, even for 5 minutes, because that changes how we are for the rest of the day. So in a way, and to have this as part of the integrated school, as opposed to everyone having to get on a bus and go out to the national park, it's here. And that's why I think it's a brilliant model that's so easy to replicate. It's not huge money where people think they need landscapers. When you're doing it now, we're watching the students here, they're just quietly, one of them said to me earlier, oh, I come here with my friends at break and we just play with sticks. And it's so lovely to hear a 16-year-old say that, like, you know, that's what they're, because a lot of the time they're in front of computers and being told, like, you know, that's kind of streamlining them. This, I think when they're out here, they get to know that they like maybe different things or different interests, or there's a different way of being in the school as well. So I think it's a brilliant, brilliant project.
And that's something that Patrick agrees with, the impact that the forest classroom has had, not alone on the students who are working there, but the whole school. But as he explains, it can't be done without support.
It's a privilege to be out here. And it's also like they're doing the TYs and Fair Dewsdon, not just the TYs this year, but last year's TYs, the ones before. They have literally transformed the school and the whole school is benefiting. And obviously, you know, this is all built around partnerships. And what has actually really, you know, helped us to start in this journey, which we spoke about before, is the funding that we've received from Sanofi. Without that, Sanofi have, like, we've just come now to this 3 years support from Sanofi, and it's absolutely, like, it's incredible. Like, you can't, schools just can't do this type of work without support from the community. We don't, there isn't money from the Department of Education, enough money, so the money we talked about for this is 2,500. If you look at the money that's actually been put into the school in the last 3 years, you're talking about over 100,000. It is a lot of money, but the benefits are absolutely and utterly huge.
Earlier this year, the Department of Education introduced two new subjects to the Leaving Cert curriculum. They both begin in September, and one is Climate Action and Sustainable Development. 43 schools across the country will offer this subject, including in Waterford, Ardscull na Mara, CBS Mount Sinai, and the Mercy Convent. Minister for Education, Norma Foley.
This is an opportunity not just to reflect the talent and skills and interests of our young people, but to validate them. So that a student who takes drama, film and theatre studies or takes climate action, sustainability, that their achievement in education is on a similar par to the student who takes science or languages or whatever.
Minister Foley said in terms of the schools that applied to be part of this new process, she was blown away by the qualifications of the staff to put themselves forward, by their enthusiasm, interest and by their experience. And if you ever needed a reason to support and encourage this type of development in schools, here's Patrick again.
The scientific literature extols the benefits of being in nature. We've all heard of the idea of forest bathing in Japan, and we know that spending time in nature decreases your cortisol levels, which is basically your stress hormone. We know scientifically it's associated as well with reducing your blood pressure, increasing physical activity, improving students' ability to actually pay attention in class, and helping people to cope with stressful events. And for the world that we're living in, the planet seems to be spinning off its axis at the moment. This, we need a lot more of this in our lives.
Not a bad note to end on. And that's it for this month. My thanks to everyone at Ardscull na Mara in Tramore who took the time to speak with me. And I hope you'll join me, Clodagh Walsh, next month for more Hours to Protect. Until then, bye-bye.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by WLR, the IBI and funded by Commission Oman with the television license fee. For more info, see the sustainability page on WLRFM.com.